Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. I love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast.
Hey, everybody. This is Joe and Angel, and here it is, another Mailbag Monday. Now, normally we do questions and answers, but today is very special. It's Christmas Eve. And tomorrow, we as a world celebrate the birth of our Savior. So to believers, this is a very, very special day. Beyond the presents and the family, the friends, it's just... But you know, take a minute and really just go over why it was so important that Jesus was born.
That is a great question that really ought to get answered. You know, you got to go back to the beginning of the Bible in Genesis to find out how we got here to begin with. You know, why did we even need a Savior? Well, we needed a Savior because man was lost. Or where did he get lost? Well, he got lost in the garden when Adam and Eve sinned. Because the Bible says sin's got death attached to it. So when Adam and Eve sinned, they got kicked out of the garden. And really, the carnal way of sin, they got fired from their job, evicted from the house. Kids start killing each other. So, man, it goes downhill in a hurry. So if you start reading through the Bible, we get all the way down to Noah and the flood. You got the whole world's gone crazy. There's only one family that's got any sanity to them. That was Noah and his family. So they build the ark, and all of a sudden the flood comes. Everybody drowns except Noah and his family. They land. They come out, and they start the human race all over again. Then you get down to the Tower of Babel. So you got this Nimrod guy trying to build this tower to heaven, and everybody's gone crazy again. So God confuses the languages. Nobody understood anybody. They started throwing bricks at each other instead of building the tower. So they scattered again. So Satan, the Bible says Satan is the God, G-O-D, little g, God of this planet. The Bible says in John 10:10, he steals, he kills, he destroys. Mm-hmm. So as a ministry, I get asked all the time, why did God let this happen? How come God let this? God doesn't let anything happen. Satan's the temporary God of this planet. He steals, kills, and destroys. I tell people that's why prisons are full and orphanages are full and the economy's taking a roller coaster ride and there's wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes. What's God doing? He's not doing anything. Satan is the temporary God of this planet. God's only allowed down here when he gets invited. So God knew something. He said, I've lost man. I've got a plan to get him back. A human lost this planet, but only a human can get it back. When Adam sinned, that's why the Bible talks about the first Adam and the second Adam. So God had a plan, but it took several hundred years for that to come to pass. So the prophecies are prophesying about it. One day, God's going to come in the flesh, and he's going to be called Messiah, and then get all the names. And Isaiah's got great passages about that. So all of a sudden, we have a star one night, and we sing about it and make Christmas cards about it. And what happened? Well, there was a symbol, a sign in heaven, and a baby was born, and the angels showed up, and they began to sing, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. You know, the shepherds coming to see, what is this baby? What is this baby? The baby's been born for years. No, this is a special baby. This was a virgin birth. This is God in the flesh coming to earth to save earth. How's he going to do that? Well, the earth's full of sinners. You know, we're all products of our fathers. That sin nature's passed down to every generation. We're all born with that sin nature. The first word a kid learns is no, you know, and they don't want to do what you tell them to do. There's rebellion. It's what it produces in humans. So God came, and we basically tell people he suckered the devil into killing him. 1 Corinthians said, had the devil known, he never would have crucified the Lord of glory, because Jesus never sinned. But he went to the cross to pay for our sin. I should have died on the cross. I was a sinner. I'm lost as a goose in a snowstorm. I have no way of getting saved. What I do now, Jesus took and paid the penalty for me, going to the cross, going into the belly of the earth. When he came out, the Bible, now I can be born again. How do you get born again? I believe that Jesus died for my sin. I couldn't die for me. I was already a sinner. But a sinless man took my place on the cross, paid the price for me. So it's just my faith in what he did for me. And that's what Christmas is about Jesus coming to earth. Now we sing and we got great songs and the shepherds showed up and the wise men showed up and it makes great stories, but you got to get to the end of it. Really, Easter and Christmas, I'll be kind of crammed together because it's the same story. God came to earth to save mankind. So Jesus ministered for 3.5 years, and all of a sudden they crucify him. He comes out of the grave 3 days later, walks around the planet for 40 days, meeting people and talking to people, and then he goes up into heaven, and he sends the Holy Spirit back to take his place. So now we have a thing called the body of Christ. What are we doing? We're doing the same thing Jesus did. He said, the things I do, you're going to do also. Well, what did he do? Well, he helped people. He fed hungry people. He helped orphans. He helped widows. He gave hope to people by restoring life, restoring hope in them. So that's what the church does today. So Christmas time is a reminder that we really have a job to do. We didn't earn our salvation. It was paid for. It was the grace of God. I couldn't earn it. I couldn't write a check for it. It was a free gift. God sent his son to die for me and raise him from the dead. It's my faith that that's true that gets me saved. It's not crawling on my knees or fasting for 40 days or shaving my head or sucking a rug. It's just believing that Jesus is the Son of God, that he did die for me and God raised him from the dead. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Yeah. Well, if you believe that in your heart and you confess that with your mouth, you're going to be saved. It's just that simple. No, don't have to do something hard. No, it's just believing that that really is a true story. Mm-hmm. Well, I do believe it. And that's the Christmas story. Christ on earth, the hope of glory. And so it's an incredible story. Now, we can tell it real short, and we talk to the kids when we were growing up. But we do it now, and even in ministry when we share it. It's an incredible story. God loves mankind. Yeah. People think, well, God made that happen. God didn't make anything happen. God loves mankind. He sent his son to die for mankind. Jesus died for sinners, not for good people. There were no good people. That's the Christmas story. God loved us. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. Merry Christmas to you, world. Yeah. I'm going to give you a great gift called my son. So we still exchange gifts. Mm-hmm. It comes from the number one gift God gave us, which is his son. It's a wonderful time of the year.
It's an amazing time of the year. And, you know, I mean, all this week I've been trying to coordinate family and who's going to be where. And, you know, we have all adult children. So, you know, getting together. And I'm excited. I'm excited for the opportunity to celebrate this. And, you know, sometimes when you hear the story of Jesus, it's kind of like hearing the Lord's Prayer. As a believer, you've heard it so much, you go, oh, okay, yeah. But you know, the Bible says to the hungry man, no, wait, the satisfied soul loathes the honeycomb.
Yes.
But to the hungry man, every bitter thing is sweet.
Yes.
And what that means is, you know, man, if you're just hungry, every time you hear that story, you get something out of it. If I hear that story about Jesus' birth, I'm hungry. I want to know more about it. Yes. I want to know more about his life as a young man. I want to know more about him coming to understand that his responsibility and what he's going to have to face as a man.
Yes.
And so I would just encourage you this time of year not to just get caught up in the presents and the fun and the food and the fellowship and the irritating relatives that you're going to have that are basically going to help develop the fruit of the Spirit in your life.
Yes, they are, yes.
But to also just to say, you know what, God, I'm hungry that this year, I want it to be just spiritually a different step for us as a family, as a couple, as an individual. You know, I just want this to be a really special time.
And you're not going to find that. You're going to have to take that. You got to be like an ambassador, a missionary on a foreign field. You got to make a determination. Hey, we're going to the family tonight. We're going to be the family this weekend. We're going to be a blessing. We're going to leave everybody better than we find them.
Yeah.
We're going to take food. We're going to clean up the house before we leave. We're going to scrub the toilet, mow the grass, wash some dirty dishes, wash some laundry. We're going to make them think, man, we need to invite them back because they sure are a blessing. And that's what God did. And God came to earth and left it better than he found it. I mean, it's just an incredible story. And so you need to make sure you're not looking to get yourself happy. What am I going to get? What am I going to get to do? No, you're a missionary on a foreign field. You get to go be a blessing this Christmas season. Make somebody laugh. Make somebody smile. Leave them better than you find them. Share a great story.
Right. We, every year at Christmas, somehow I get my job is twofold. Make mashed potatoes, which I don't even eat. I don't even like them. So I don't know how I got that job. And dishes. Those are my two jobs.
Got it.
And so I decided a couple years ago, you know what? I'm just going to go get some Bob Evans potatoes. Put a stick of butter in those jokers. Put it in my crock pot and all. I got there and I got the garlic. He had some kind of flavor, you know. And I got there and everybody goes, you did something different with your potatoes this year. I go, yes, I did. I purchased them in plastic. But and then I came up with this idea. I go, there's so much an obscene amount of food at my brother's house that I said, they won't even notice if I don't bring anything. I'll just pick up my mom. and they will be so distracted by that. I'm just going to, you know what? I did that for 2 years. Nobody said a word. Nobody noticed at all.
Oh, that's good.
So you can just have a different experience. You just got to back out and rethink things. No, I don't even know why I told that story.
Oh, that's a good one.
But anyway, I just encourage you that no matter where you are, you know, even if you're alone at Christmas.
Yes.
Do something different.
Yes.
When I was working for an insurance company, one of the things that they did was they said, hey, we are donating all these turkey dinners to the elderly people in our community, and could you volunteer for a neighborhood to drop off, you know? And so I said, oh, me and my kids, we'll do that. That'll be cool. We had the best time doing that. It was so much fun. I wish I'd had 10 more turkeys to drop off. And it was just so – it was such a ministry, because then it immediately set the precedence that this isn't about what we get. This is about what we give. And I just think – so try to step back and say, you know what? It doesn't have to be business as usual.
Yes.
Let's do something. Let's give a little bit more. Let's seek God a little bit more. Let's give him you know, let's don't give Santa more precedence than Jesus. Let's go back to the basics of what we're celebrating.
Again, try to leave everybody better than you find them. I remember one year we were going to Bible school. We had 3 minimum wage jobs between the two of us. One of those jobs, Christmas Eve, the guy came in and I was going to work right to midnight. You know, he said, hey, Joe, we got some extra turkeys, you know, that we were giving the staff. Would you like to have some? Sure. So I walked over with 3 12-pound turkeys, and I got home. I told my wife, hey, look at this. We got meat. We got 3 12-pound turkeys. She said, well, we got to give 2 of them away. I said, no, we need to eat off these for the next month. No, we got to give these away. And we got back in the car with our kids wrapped up. They were still in bed asleep. And we went to 2 other students that we knew were going to Bible school with us that were barely making a living doing what we were doing. We knocked on the door about 1 o'clock in the morning. The older said, hey, what's going on, Joe? I said, well, Merry Christmas. We got you a 12-pound turkey. And they laughed. We hugged. And man, we felt like Santa Claus that night. We had a good time giving away 2 12-pound turkeys on Christmas Eve. It was a fun night.
I wouldn't necessarily recommend you do that at 1 a.m.
Well, if you have no food in the refrigerator, Merry Christmas.
That is true. That is true. That is true. No matter what, though, I hope that we pray as a ministry and as a couple that this year, this Christmas, is going to be special. And as you're listening to this today, you're probably running out getting those last-minute gifts.
Yep.
I always get paranoid Christmas Eve because I'm like, uh-oh, I'm leaving somebody out, or uh-oh, I didn't get enough, it's not fairly balanced, yada, yada, yada. I mean, I like when my kids are older now, so it's a little bit easier, and they're English majors, so they less like books. They're a little nerdy. They're cute looking, but they are a little nerdy. But so I know how it is, Christmas Eve, and you're getting the turkey, you're getting everything ready, so it's kind of a hectic time. You know, as you listen to this, if you could just take a minute, or 5 minutes, and just kind of get alone and say, hey, Jesus, what is it that you want to speak to me through this time together with my family?
Yes.
Show me, open my eyes on somebody that's hurting.
How can I be a blessing?
Yes, Lord? How can I reach out to somebody? So, but we are totally in agreement that this Christmas will be the most special Christmas that you have.
Yes. Hey, guys, thanks, everybody, for listening. Don't forget to listen to the podcast Wednesday and Friday. We will be back Monday, New Year's Eve, for another broadcast. God bless you. Merry Christmas, everybody.
We really love you guys.